Are you a Corinthian type Christian where you are sloppy in your walk and you need an apostle, someone of great authority, to come along and rebuke you? Are you that type of Christian? Or maybe you are the Galatian type of Christian where you think your good deeds make you special, prove, validate your confession of faith. If you are in those categories, you need to get out of them.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please join us as we study the book of Philippians, verse by verse. What kind of Christian are you? Today, we learn by example that we should be like a Philippian Christian, the type that just wants to serve the Lord. We do this by being men of honor and women of virtue who are bold, generous, and never back down from anything Jesus Christ has said. If we do these things, the God of peace will be with us. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 10, as we join Pastor Rick.
In preparing to come and share what God has shared with me, I have to guard against just being a man who prepares to share. Do you understand? I can just make bullet points and do my research and reference points and get it all ready to present to you. And the next thing I know, I've just become a person who knows how to prepare to share. But I'm not drawing closer to Christ. I'm not on my face to Jesus. I'm not looking to correct things that are wrong about me and staying on guard. And I'm supposed to be a man who cannot live if I'm not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Something's drastically wrong. It's unacceptable. That's how we're all supposed to be as Christians. We're not just coming to be educated on the things of Christ. We are supposed to be on fire for Him, anointed in His hands, under His lordship, led by Him. Paul is saying, if you consider how I've lived, you know that I've been doing these things. In fact, when this church was birthed, it was birthed under persecution. They beat Paul for engaging sin. And he cast the demon out of the young gal and they jailed him, and they beat him. And this church was very aware of this hard beginning that she had. And this church in Philippi is perhaps the strongest of all the churches in Paul's ministry. What the church in Philadelphia is in the book of Revelation, the church of Philippi is in the time of Paul. It had excelled, it surpassed Corinth and Galatia and Thessalonica and Berea. It was a very special ministry. That will come out as he gets to the end of this. It's not on the surface, but when you begin to connect the dots, you find it's an inescapable honor that is set upon this church in Philippi, unlike all the others. And so he says, follow me. Verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. This is interdependence. Someone has said that dependence is being a child. Independence is being an adolescent or an immature adult. Interdependence, that is maturity. That is the true picture of Christianity. That is fellowship with Christ. When he says we have fellowship with Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we are fellow workers with Him. That is interdependence. And we have to be that way with each other also, whether we like it or not. It's pride that would resist this. Pride can grow on anything. Pride can grow atop of virtue. Look how virtuous I am. Look how good I am. Look how much of the Word of God that I do. We're always aware that indeed we are sinners. And it is going to take a lot of work to be stronger. But back to verse 10, he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. These Philippians, They had sent aid to Paul when he went to Thessalonica. They had sent aid to him when he was in Corinth. And they're sending aid to him while he is in Rome. Something interfered with their care for him, and that's why he says it flows again. It flourished again in verse 10. Now again, they were sending. They did not want their pastor to be moonlighting as a tent maker. They wanted him to be full-time ministry because they understood that was for the benefit of the flock. And that's why they sent aid to him. When he goes on to Thessalonica, he tells the Thessalonians, listen, you know how we work towards you as a mother, but we also work with our own hands that we would not burden you. But then we find out also that the Philippians were sending aid to Paul because Paul was working as a tent maker in Thessalonica, so he would not have to burden the church. And the Philippians said, no, he needs to be in the pulpit. He needs to be studying. He needs to be ministering to the flock. And so they sent aids. And he points out none of the other churches were doing it, just this one. And this, 10 years after this church was started, he's bringing these things up as past and current. This is the church you want to attend in the New Testament. This church and the church at Philadelphia, they are the outstanding ones. Smyrna is up there too. But they persecuted in that church. And it'd take a movement of the Holy Spirit to make me say, I'd like to go to Smyrna and attend that church. I'm just being honest with you. You'd be foolish to look for persecution. And so, coming back to this now, he says you lacked opportunity. You wanted to get to me, but you could not get. Who knows what it could have been? It could have been a military operation on the Aegean Way, which led to the Aegean Sea, and then you'd go to the Appian Way, all the way to Rome. Maybe, who knows, the roads were closed, the season, the snows, sailing certain times of the year was not advisable. Whatever it was, they could not get support to him, and then they did get opportunity, and again, the support flows. And he takes time about this. He's going to deal with this, and think more for our sakes than anything else. Funny how he didn't send them a letter that if you don't send a love offering of $50, this ministry is going to go off the air. That is your cue to say bye-bye, go off the air. Because ministry is supposed to give. And if you've got to beg people to support you, what honor is in that? What is that all about? Talk about self-promotion. Let it die then. God's not in it. If God wants it to be on the radio, he'll put it there. If God wants it on the internet, he'll put it there. If he wants it in a neighborhood, he'll put it there. If he wants you to preach in the workplace, he will do it. And if he wants you to shut your mouth, you can't do it. And you should know that. You should learn how to be a better Christian at presenting the gospel. You don't just sashay up, okay, I'm saved now, let me tell you my life. I'm always amazed at how many people want to quickly tell you their testimony. Listen, I'm too busy making my own. Now, that doesn't reduce the value of another's testimony at all. But that's something we wear on our sleeve. And every Christian should be blazing their own trail. You should have your own testimony. I had a friend, we'd be around all these guys that hardcore testimony. I was a drug addict, I used to own cats. That was my biggest sin. And tease you cat lovers. And he would say, I don't have anything. I've been always a good boy. But I was going to hell. And that was his testimony. That testimony is just as valuable as the other one. In fact, I'd like to skip the drugs. I didn't do them myself. No, I did not. But some of you have. I know you have. I could tell by the way you dress. No, I'm kidding. But that's okay. God wipes all that away. You're a new creation. God takes you in. My point is, you don't have to have a sensational testimony to have a testimony. You have to have a sure testimony to have one. That's all God wants. Be like his son. That's it. Don't try to wow anybody. That could backfire. Wow, that guy's an idiot. You mean, so, whew, man, your mom lets you grow up that way? I'm so just sometimes it's best to think. So imagine walking around. Here's my testimony on CD. You'll love that. Self-promotion. Well, Paul, back to this. Verse 11, we'll take it to get back on track. He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Teach me, brother, teach me. I want, because I'm content in some pretty hard situations. It's just some of those little ones, like the mailbox not being shut all the way on a rainy day. Or in being in a hurry and and you're on a one-lane road and the other person insists on showing you that a car can go 20 miles lower than the speed limit and still move. So it's those things we don't see. We've got to be content in whatever state. Don't go with the serenity now. It doesn't work. It's not becoming of a Christian. It's not ours. It's just take the pain. That's the way to do it. You want to say, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. That's scriptural, but that's not the tone. The tone is, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. Because you cannot detach that verse from all Paul is saying here. Now, he is telling them, number one, I did not ask you to support me. I appreciate that you did. I really don't need it, but I appreciate it. He doesn't have to send out a letter again on telling people to support the ministry. Listen, if we got to ask you to tithe the way you're supposed to be tithing, keep it. We don't want it. We'd rather do without it. We'd rather have less. I don't mean that in a cocky sort of way, though years ago I did kind of feel a little cocky. We don't need it. But now I've learned. I've taken some lumps over the years, and they hurt. And I'm always trying to, right, Lord, I'm saying the right thing. I'm not messing up here. And so, but again, if you are a Christian, you know what you're supposed to do. It's almost an insult to us to have to tell you to do it, and it's an insult to you to have to be told to do it. Do what God says, and that's that. May we not ever lose sight of the fact that we should be content with whatever we have or not have. Well, we'd like to build that building. Well, that's true. When God's good and ready, he may never be ready. It's his call, not mine. He can do anything he wants to do, and I'm supposed to be good with this. This is what Paul had. He really understood that what it meant to be content was to trust God. Okay, what if they're beating me with a cane? Trust God. What if I'm dying a slow death? It doesn't change. What if I'm doing pretty good, actually? What if I'm rich and wealthy and people are just lavishing me with praises? Trust the Lord. It doesn't change. This is what the Buddhists want. They call it a state of enlightenment. They never get there. They just waste their lives chasing something that they're not going to ever get because their system is flawed. And so he says in verse 12, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I've learned this. He says, I got the mystery solved. This is something that I have discovered. Now, when he says, I know how to be abased, that word for abased there in the Greek, it is also used of a river that has run low. And that is the idea. It's used in many ways, but that's one of the usages of the word. He says, I know how to be low. I know how to be out of it. I know how to lack what I need. I know how it is when people insult me and say things about me that may be true or false, but it's not good. I know the drill. We would say, well, no, we don't hear say it too much, but we used to say things, oh, I've been there, got the t-shirt, and all the other expressions. And that was to say to the other person, I have firsthand experience with this. I have perception, and I have action. I have oida and the gnosko. I fully understand what I'm talking about. That's what he says here. And then he says, I know how to abound. I know how to succeed. I know how to do well without losing my testimony, without becoming something other than Christ Jesus in me. A lot of folks, it goes right to their head. We tell our pastors when we have ordination service, don't let it go to your head. Let it go to your heart. Because if it goes to your head, you're done. Then it becomes all about you. And that's a hard road to maintain. The you road. It takes more asphalt than you can produce. And then he says, everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. If you have a problem with eating, as most of us do, I mean, you like to eat a lot. It's the refrigerators have done this to us. I suggest, well, what I have been doing successfully when I choose to is... All right, kitchen's closed. I mean, even the cabinets, even the dog bowl, it's closed. After a certain, okay, I'm full. I'm not going to eat anymore. If anything more now is just greed. And I've been doing this, and it's been working very nicely. Now, that's according to my memory. my daughter and wife might say, yeah, well, then how come we saw you rummaging around? I was looking for an onion for tomorrow. But anyway, if I'm telling the story, and I am, it's been working nicely for me. And so my point is, you know, a little bit of hunger, it can gnaw. It's like, oh, I'm hungry now. Come on. Let's just take a few steps to the kitchen. Pause it. Pause it. Whatever you're doing, come back. What a snack. And we'll be happy. Well, imagine when you're really hungry, when you have not had, you need food. I mean, you're starting to have problems physically. And that's what he's talking about. Because when you were in jail, which he was at this time in a Roman jail, they didn't have like a cafeteria for the prisoners to shuffle to. You either had friends that would bring you some stuff to help you survive in the cold and all the other things, or you were stuck. And then you had to wait for word to get around. You couldn't, you know, text somebody, hey, Paul's in jail. You had to wait. And this is what he has experienced. In Christ, he did these things. And he's now, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He strengthens you, not extract. Christ did not extract Paul from the Roman jail, from the shipwrecks that he experienced, from the beatings. And so to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you have to know that that involves waiting and discomfort, and that to a large degree. You have to suffer. All of us understand this. We come to church wanting an encounter with God, and we want that encounter to be, don't worry, I'm going to take you and wrap you in bubble wrap. And of course, that is not going to happen. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. He says, we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble. Now, this was a few years before this letter, which came to us in Asia, not Southeast Asia, as we might say, but this is Turkey, the land of Turkey, where the churches were located, Ephesus, for example. He says, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. We were so miserable, we're so hungry and cold and aching and hurting and uncertain as to what was going to happen to us, that we despaired of life. We were as low as we could be. And so when he says, I know how to be abased, he knows what he's talking about. When he says, I know how to abound, when he came down from Three Inns Tavern and the saints had come as far as 40 miles away, they loved him so much and they greeted him and they had flowers and fruit and things to give him. And we love you, Paul, as he was marching on his way to Rome and to an uncertain future. What do you think that did to him when he saw these Christians loving on him? Because it was Christians that caused him to get in jail. It was James, the brother of the Lord, with his bright idea. Show your Jewishness, Paul. Take some brothers and a vow down to the temple. That's how he got arrested. He should have said, yeah, look, I love you, but I disagree with that, and I'm not doing it. But he did not do that. It's the humanness of the story. He was not Superman, but he was a Superman. And in fact, as a husband, only one thing I really rule that I stick hard to with my wife, and I don't yield no matter what. She is not allowed. No one in the house is allowed to bring kryptonite into the house. Okay. It makes me weak. Verse 14. Nevertheless, I really thought you'd laugh a little bit more at that. So let me do it again. No. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. You see, I really don't need your love gifts, your care packages, but I love them. But you take care of you. Because I'm okay. Christ will deal with me. Now, you Philippians know, verse 15, that in the beginning of the gospel, that is the gospel era in Philippi when the church was birthed 10 years earlier, when I departed from Macedonia with the beating on his back, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. You see why this church is the crown? This is the place to attend. He had mentioned in Corinthians, you gave, you first sought the Lord before you gave, and then when you gave more than what you really should have. You really couldn't afford it, but your faith dictated your behavior, and God has always blessed you. And now here he says in verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Now again, he was working as a tent maker, and they said, nope, not enough. We know he's earning a living. For not only himself, but those with him, we're going to support our man of God. Powerful Christian church. Verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Paul said, look, I take these beatings because I know who Jesus is. And I know when you give up that which is precious to you on behalf of another, it's because you too know who Jesus is. And he will make good on this because God will not be indebted to any human being. Now, these are by his standards. The prosperity movement would take that verse and say, yeah, you give the church and the pastor $1,000 and God will double it. Sucker. Somebody needs to stand up in that congregation and say, suckers, all of you who believe that kind of nonsense. God wants you rich in righteousness more than anything else. You can lose all that other stuff and you can't take it with you anyway. Well, you all know that drill. But maybe what you don't know is a different way to say it to somebody who hasn't figured it out. Well, he continues. He says in verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Again, the Philippians gave to Paul because of their relationship with God, not because it was the classy thing to do. I'm always taken by how many Christians, people who name Christ, have no class. And by that I mean, class according to scriptures. They have no problem doing what's wrong, what is not becoming, not honorable, noble, and quite uppity if you dare point it out. These Christians didn't even need to point it out. You see, you've got to figure out what Christ wants from you on your own. You can't depend on your pastor. You, as an individual, have got to have a face-to-face, heart-to-heart, ongoing relationship with the Lord of creation, or you're missing out. You will be a citizen of heaven, but just not too classy. The shame of that is it shouldn't have been. You have to trust God. When we have people come into leadership, and sometimes we forget because the pastors are caught up in the actual ministry and not these, oh, let's go through the checklist. But if a person is in leadership and they're not tithing, they need to get out of leadership. And we find out we have to get them out of leadership because if they can't trust God with the sacrificial offerings, that doesn't matter. We don't ask how much. It's none of our business. But if they can't trust God, then how can they serve in God's house? Do you want that? Imagine if you found out your pastor doesn't tithe. Well, how could you trust him? What kind of fraud is that, you know, and doesn't even care? That's even worse. It'd be something, I know it's a problem. I'm working on it. Can you loan me a dollar? That's different. It happens all the time. And he continues, and my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in his glory by Christ Jesus. Do you believe it or not? That's Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God is my shepherd. He'll take care of me. Now to our God and Father, be glory forever and ever. And that's the truth. And that's what amen really is. It's actually a little deeper than that, but that's the beginning of it. Verse 21, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. And so there are these saints. He's writing this letter and he said, don't forget to tell them we said hi. I mean, what would it say about them if they didn't care to even inject that into Paul's letter? Now, I don't care. If you want to tell them hi, fine. You know, I really never liked the Philippians anyway, givers. And then he says, verse 22, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. That would be like there's an evangelist in the White House. Now, I know that couldn't happen, but it's tantamount. It's equal to. Here they are in the palace of Nero, and converts were being made. And not only were they being made, their testimony was already underway, and they're saying, don't forget to say hello. He doesn't name them. He doesn't want to maybe get them in trouble. And then he says, verse 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Are you a Corinthian-type Christian where you are sloppy in your walk and you need an apostle, someone of great authority, to come along and rebuke you? Are you that type of Christian? Or maybe you are the Galatian type of Christian, where you think your good deeds make you special, prove, validate your confession of faith. If you are in those categories, you need to get out of them. Maybe you are a Philippian Christian. And you just want to serve the Lord. You don't want to pick on anybody else. You don't want to strive. You just want to bless. And you don't want to back down from anything that Jesus Christ has said.
This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio with Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Pastor Rick will continue taking us verse by verse through the book of Philippians the next time you join us. Now, we want to be sure to tell you how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Simply log on to crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. Our website has today's message available for you to download. Place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time as Pastor Rick will continue this insightful study through the book of Philippians. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.